Well, I've got just some points from 1 Corinthians 7. I'm kind of going through 1 Corinthians 7 as we, as I share just the periodic sermons that I do. And again, I'm just filling in for the weeks when Bruce isn't preaching. That's all. That's how I look at this. And the longer we keep Pastor Bruce coming up here sharing from God's word, hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 7, I'm going to read. And the themes of this chapter, I just wrote down just a couple themes. Appropriate marriage behavior, the gift of singleness, the gift of marriage, and it's all about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I guess those are the themes of this chapter. The heading on the chapter starts out instruction on marriage. So again, because there's some, like, if you just want to follow along in your Bible, I'm going to read. I might skip a phrase or two as I'm going through this chapter. It's kind of long, but I'll read most of the chapter here. Now, about the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to live a celibate life, but because there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should not deprive his wife, which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. So do not deprive each other. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. This is only my suggestion. It's not meant to be an absolute rule. I wish everyone could get along without marrying just as I do, but we're not all the same. God gives some the gift of marriage, and to others he gives the gift of singleness. I'm going to stop there and just go over maybe my first three points here. The first point, I just made an acronym, MEON. M-E-O-N, kind of like you've heard of neon lights, and I think this sort of is a good parallel, even though it's just a ridiculous word, neon. You're probably thinking, moron. But if you know neon lights, you know, I did a little Google search. There's 1,728 songs with lyrics that have neon lights in them, and if you sang, probably I think one of the most famous is Brooks and Dunn, The Neon Moon. And that's a good tune, you know, about a guy that just can't get over the fact that his love of his life has left him. So he goes under the neon lights and celebrates the non-return of his love, okay? Just night after night by the light of the neon moon. Okay, not a good coping mechanism, I would say, probably something of the world, right, that Sean was talking about. But if you change that N to an M, Letterman used to do this on my electric company show growing up or something, but a MEON, what does MEON stand for? It meet each other's needs, okay? If you live under the neon lights, you're usually thinking about, I'm brokenhearted, or I'm just going to go. One of the neon lights songs that I actually saw lyrics to was, under the neon lights, there, I have no husband, I have no wife, under the neon lights. The idea that some people just go to these places and forget about their significant others. Well, I'm going to suggest that the key first point here is meet each other's needs. Okay, think about the contrast of a life lived going the wrong way, the neon lights way, or a life living the right way, the MEON lights, or meeting each other's needs. That's what marriage is all about, right? And my second point was refrain if both agree, okay? And it was talking about specifically maybe your physical warmth in marriage or love for each other, but you can certainly just take a much broader look at this and say refrain if both agree. There's both agree is a phrase there, okay? agreement needs to be in marriage. And so as you're trying to go from, I just did some marriage counseling this week for Shania Simmons and Dion Jones. I'm going to officiate their wedding in September. And so we met up here and this week. And I was going over, you know, it's you go from being two single people to there's this beautiful, you know, third thing that happens. It's not Paul and Dawn. There's a Paul and Dawn marriage now that's not there, this relationship, this mystical union that Christ talks about. And so when you come together, you need to nurture and nourish this new, you know, together creation, that union that you've made. And if you, it's kind of like the three-legged potato sack race, right? You know, where two people tie their legs together in a potato sack and then you try to walk. Well, when you first get married, married people will probably say this is true. It's a little different, right? You used to go to bed anytime you wanted to. You used to do what you wanted to, spend your money on what you wanted to. And now it's like, just doesn't seem as smooth when you're walking through life here. You're like, what is this? I didn't have that Kohl's credit card, but I didn't used to have that. Okay, so again, Dawn's not here. I can't say anything. She is in Florida taking care of her sister, if you didn't know that, and helping to take care of her. And so I'm making do and just trying to. The one thing that I'm having a tough time with a little bit is I miss, you know, when I say something to her, I don't know if she's really doing it over the phone, you know. Say, hey, go do this, you know. Can't tell, you know. No, she said I could say that. No, she didn't. Okay, so anyways, back to this. If you both agree, so God knows when you get married, you're married. He knows this is new territory for you both. And he knows whether you've been married a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 50, 60 years, or more. This is something where you both need to agree. And if God knows that, just a little something here for couples as you discern God's will. He knows you're married. He's not going to tell one person, hey, this is what we're going to do, and then not convince your spouse of that. Okay, so if you, I know I'm stretching this way more, like this, the verse is talking about one thing specifically, maybe fasting from certain activities so you can both pray about something and then coming back together. But both agree just stood out to me. We need to make sure that in marriage we're both in agreement with things. And guess what? If you both decide to walk the same direction, once you got that leg going, that potato sack thing, kind of works pretty good once you know what you're doing, okay? And at times it might be like, still just want to run. I want to go fast. Okay, well, just maybe that's a bad example because maybe you can walk farther and run farther as a married team. And I think me portraying it as a limiting thing might be bad there. But it is, there is a knack to it of learning how to move forward with both your husband and wife agreeing on things. And of course, there is the puppy clause. Puppies are excluded from this principle. If they're cute, you just bring them home. And then, just kidding. Okay, some people out there getting ready to throw their chairs at me. Okay, all right. Third point, each person has a special gift from God, whether it's singleness or being married. The Apostle Paul says, this is a gift that God calls you to. And there's a beautiful video I've mentioned before online on YouTube. I can't think of the pastor's name, but this wonderful pastor talks about single, not alone. And just a great thing for, I usually say to couples, hey, take a look at this, because you want to learn to be okay with Jesus, and just alone with Jesus is all you need. And then when you are given that gift of marriage, if you are given that, then you're still complete and able to bring a complete person to the marriage. So Single Not Alone, that's a good resource. Don't view singleness as a curse, okay? Now, some of you are too young for marriage, but anxiously awaiting that. Some of you are, you know, of age but not married yet, and you're saying, hey, I'm still anxiously awaiting that. And then some are married, and you should not view being married as a curse, okay? I would pray that nobody feels that way, but the world out there, right? Every song that, you know, talks about being tied down or whatever and not doing what you want, I think kind of views it like that. So whatever you are, the Apostle Paul is saying, view it as a gift from God. That's your gift for today, for today. Okay, when you're crying, God knows every tear you're going to cry. He knows 1,657 tears today. And when that last tear falls, he says, okay, that's it. Now comes the time of healing and renewal and eventual healing and then joy and maybe. So if you look at singleness like that, there's a time maybe right now where, yep, you're single now. Go through that valley patiently. Go through it joyfully, saying, hey, this is what God gave me as a gift. If he changes that and restores you to a relationship, that's fine. Let me keep going on with these points here. I'll just go on with scripture first. Now I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am, but if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. Now for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else go back to him, and the husband must not leave his wife. Now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a Christian man has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a Christian woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. For the Christian wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not have a godly influence, but now they are set apart for him. But if the husband or wife who isn't a Christian insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the Christian husband or wife is not required to stay with him, for God wants his children to live in peace. You wives must remember that your husbands might be converted because of you, and you husbands must remember that your wives might be converted because of you. Now, this is a letter written to Christians. Okay, obviously, read between the lines. There's a million different directions you can go there. Obviously, I am not standing up here today saying, oh, stay in an abusive relationship. Let somebody hit you. Let somebody verbally assault you. Let somebody just be unfaithful to you. I'm not saying that at all, okay? And I don't think the Apostle Paul is saying that. But to the extent that it's possible, when it's difficult, even for Christians that love each other, that wake up every day saying, you're the best thing that ever happened in my life next to Jesus Christ, and I'm really mad at you right now, okay? Again, we feel like that sometimes, and we deal with all these emotions. And if Christians that love God, that love each other, and have pledged to love each other, if they can still wake up angry and just emotionally raw, imagine the pain, the hurt. And you don't have to imagine, many of you. You know the pain and the hurt that comes when these relationships are torn and fractured. Okay, so let's just keep going to the Lord here for some more points. You must accept whatever situation the Lord has put you in and continue on as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit here. Verse verse 29. Now let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short, so husbands should not let marriage be their major concern. Happiness or sadness or wealth should not keep anyone from doing God's work. Those in frequent contact with the things of the world should make good use of them without becoming attached to them. Okay, there's a very famous Three Stooges film. Okay, the artisan children sometimes get to watch these. When we're traveling home, we have a Three Stooges CD-ROM and or CD player and the DVD player in the van. Sorry, Neil and Christy, if you ask me not to let them see these, I will put the DVD away. But, you know, there's one guy who's got a violin, Stradivarius, very expensive, right? And he's obviously had this violin broken, and he goes around screaming, "My Stradivarius! My Stradivarius! My Stradivarius!" Well, folks, if you've got anything that God's given you to do work with, if he gave you a pickup truck, guess what? You probably have friends that are moving, so that's probably why God gave you a truck. You're like, "What? That mattress scratched my bed on my truck." Okay, I think what the Apostle Paul would say here is make good use of the things God gave you without becoming attached to them. It's a truck. I know, Mike, your truck is different. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. It's a work of art. Okay, but again, use what God gives you, whether it's trucks, whether it's money, whatever it is, don't get so attached. And I think I covered one of my points here. That's good news. In everything you do, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him, but a married man can't do that so well. He has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife, obviously how to take care of his family too. His interests are divided in the same way a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be more devoted to the Lord in body and in spirit, while the married woman must be concerned about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Last verse I'm going to read from this passage. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. The theme here, that third theme I read, is it's all about serving the Lord. Yes, it's very sad if we have sadness in our life. It's very sad if we have trials and persecution in our life. If we're in a pit of cold mud, wondering if we're going to sink below the surface and drown and suffocate. If we're like Jeremiah, if we're in emotional suffocation. Folks, it's not fun a lot of times. But what is it all about? It's really about us reflecting glory to Christ. And again, I've mentioned Donna, dying of cancer down in Florida, and she's a bright, bright gospel star shining in this universe to anyone that will come near her. She'll tell you what it's all about. And I think we need to just keep doing this. Let me just make sure I've covered these points. I almost read July 28th sermon notes. Careful there. Okay. Don't leave your spouse if that's, as long as it's possible to stay together, just stay together. Obviously, I said abuse would, you know, make that impossible. If unequal yokedom has happened to you, patiently endure your togetherness. It's not going to be fun. That's why God says, young people, he says, marry a believer. Okay, and Paul says so well and so eloquently, how can Christ be close to someone that's of the world? He can't, you know, you can't really have that, what you're supposed to have in marriage, if you have a partner that doesn't love the Lord. So please listen to that. But if it has happened to you in some way, patiently endure. If it's possible, pray and pray and pray and pray for your spouse. Be free from the concerns of this life if you can, verses 30, 31, and 32. I want to say this. There are many noble pursuits, harmless hobbies, dead-end relationships, dead-end friendships that can sidetrack you. And I don't want you to go home and say, I'm going to classify my friendships. Dead end. Not going there anymore. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to do that. But folks, if it's all about serving the Lord, okay, if you have friends that are saying, oh man, we just got to go play the bingo boards. We got to go to Turning Stone for a night of, you know, watching other people lose money. Don't get into harmless hobbies that are taking all your time away from serving the Lord. Okay, Maudie is a beautiful painter. She uses that talent for the Lord. She donates paintings to auctions. She's got some she's going to give the Karenette auction once we ever get that going. We had a little ruffle in those plans. But thank you, everyone, that uses your hobbies, your talents for the Lord. And folks, we believe he's coming back. We don't really want to just not use these talents for the Lord. So yes, you know, maybe you're dressing up as a Star Trek character is important or something, but if it's not really serving the Lord, if you're not witnessing to others through that or something, just evaluate your life. Say, well, maybe it's time to, you know, put the Trekkie stuff away and you know, go, you know, pray for some guy in Evan prison or something. But you can get sidetracked on saving the seals or the environment. Folks, those are important things. I'm not saying don't do them, but just lay it before Christ, would you? And say, Lord, what would you have me do with every waking moment? Okay, and then do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. Here's some closing scriptural thoughts. In Daniel 5, Belshazzar sees these words written on the wall, many, many, tekel, parsim, and it means you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and your kingdom will be divided. Daniel finally tells him that. What was his sin that night when this happened? He had taken holy vessels from the temple, from Jerusalem, that had been transported to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had taken these, and he starts drinking wine out of them. Party it up, okay, and they're worshiping the gods of gold and silver, it says. Guess what? Our bodies are God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6, last time I preached and you weren't listening, guess what? I said, no, you were, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Folks, are you taking holy stuff from the temple and doing bad stuff with it? Okay, God's going to say, hey, I'm finding you. You haven't lived up, okay? You've been weighed in the balance, and you've been found lacking. But guess what? I don't think, oh, you're pointing your finger at me, Paul. No, guess what? I got 10 pointed back at me. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows to the body, the flesh, he'll reap death. If he sows to life, it'll be to life everlasting in Christ. Galatians 6:7-8, you might want to read that yourself because I probably just paraphrased that a little badly. But Johnny Cash has a song, God's Gonna Cut You Down. Okay, it's a good song. It's evangelistic. Okay, you can run a long time, and some people that know they're running, right? And they know, because of your life and God's Holy Spirit and others, hey, turn around. But they're like desperado. They need to come to their senses. But sometimes it's just a will thing. I just want to read from Romans a couple verses. I know I'm going over a little bit here, but just from Romans 7, just verses. I'm not going to say anything. But we'll close with this. Romans 7:21-25, and then a passage from Romans 8. 7:21. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Romans 8, 12 to 18 says this. So dear Christian friends, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead, and please get this imagery, like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in Emmaus Bible Fellowship. Let each child that loves you just learn from a young age just to fall on their knees and say, Jesus, please help these people. Lord, I just know how precious those prayers are to you, those prayers of children that are so full of faith. And Lord, forgive us as adults for losing that grip on our faith. And we pray and we're like, yeah, maybe. No, Lord, it's yes and amen in Christ. Your promises are there for us. And I claim those promises for those that have been hurt in marriage, in relationships. Lord, there's just such a raw pain, such a anger that just takes over our souls and depresses us and just is so indomitable until the light of your Holy Spirit shines on us, until you come as a gentle father only can and just pull us out of that mud and that quagmire that we're in, and you say, hey, come on up here. I'm going to set your feet on solid ground. Lord, I just pray that we could be agents of the gospel, salt and light to a world full of people that are sometimes angry and screaming, but guess what? Even those people that put Jeremiah in the pit, you loved them. And Lord, our job is to love the world, faithfully proclaim your gospel message, and to just honor you, even if our bodies are being burned in a flame of persecution. Lord, just help us to honor you. Lord, we ask it all for your honor and glory. Just be glorified. We just want to worship you. As far as we're concerned, Lord, we can be invisible. Nobody needs to know our names. Nobody needs to put us in a history book or make a TV special about us. We just want to sing for you. We want to worship you. We want to be your church. Please accomplish that in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name.